Shavuot or Pentecost. And we're going to have, as I said a moment ago, we're going to have our monthly prayer meeting during that time. So you actually have a prayer meeting on Shavuot, on this Jewish holiday. And I hope and pray God will do in our midst what he did 2,000 years ago on Shavuot. So it'd be a really a wonderful prayer meeting. So I hope you can join us tomorrow for that. As I've pointed out in the past, according to Jewish tradition, our Jewish people celebrate on Shavuot Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. In other words, the giving of the Ten Commandments and other commandments in the five books of Moses there. Now, we don't know whether that happened exactly on Shavuot. Again, this is Jewish tradition. But I had us read a moment ago in Shemot chapter 19, verse 1, and it said, in the third month, the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai. And so the fact it was the third month meant that the Torah, the Ten Commandments, were given in that third month. And that's the month of Sivan. That's what the Jewish month we're in right now. So we know whether it happened on Shavuot, it at least happened around that time. Also, as believers in Yeshua or Jesus, we remember Matan Ruach HaKodesh, the giving of the Holy Spirit on Shavuot or Pentecost. And so we read about that in, you know, Acts chapter 2. And we're not going to read that today. That's a different sermon. But again, there you see that God's Holy Spirit came upon the roughly 120 believers that were up in the upper room there. And they were changed forever as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. And the two are related. You know, Matan Torah and Matan Ruach HaKodesh. The giving of the Torah and the giving of the Holy Spirit, the two are related, as we see in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Covenant, that's mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Because there, it says God, in the New Covenant, will write His Torah, or commandments, on our hearts. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, which was actually my bar mitzvah passage, my Haftarah passage, there God says he's going to put his spirit, his ruach, in us. And his ruach is going to motivate us and help us to carry out his commandments. So he not only, just receiving the Torah is not enough. We need the empowerment to keep the Torah. And so that's why the Shavuot is a wonderful holiday, because it brings the two together. Now this Shabbat, as we're focusing on Shavuot or Pentecost, we're going to be reminded of something important in regard to the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And that is the anointing of the Lord. The anointing of the Lord. So we're going to look at three things related to that. First of all, what is this anointing? Second, why do we need to do it? Or why do we need it? And third, how do we get the anointing of the Lord? All right, so that's our roadmap to cover that. Now, if you finish before I do, let me know. Okay, so hopefully we'll finish at the same time there. But that's our roadmap. All right, so let's look at the first thing there. And that is, what is the anointing of the Lord? And now this is just kind of my description of it here. But it's God's Spirit working in us to accomplish God's will in and through our life, especially in empowering us in service for Him. So usually when people think of the anointing, they're thinking of just God empowering us in service. But I think it's a little broader than that. But it certainly is involving Him empowering us for service. And we see examples of this anointing in the Scriptures. We see in the Hebrew Scriptures, you know, the Older Testament, we see that there were individuals were anointed with oil. And that was symbolic of or representative of them receiving God's Spirit to empower them in carrying out some office or service that they were being set aside for. And back in those days, the Spirit could come upon somebody and then the Spirit could leave. We see that with Shaul or Saul, who was the first king of Israel. Let me just remind you of a classic example in the Hebrew scriptures of that, and that's David or David. David was anointed as the future king of Israel. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it says, "Then Shmuel," or Samuel the prophet, "took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers." And notice what happened when he was anointed. It says, "And the Ruach Adonai, the Spirit of the Lord, came mightily upon David from that day forward." He was changed forever when God's Spirit came upon him. Now, the Hebrew word there for anoint that we read about is mashach. Let's all say that together. Mashach. Now, you got to make sure you go the chet on the end there. In other words, that means you got to spray your neighbor there when you say that. Mashach. All right, that means to anoint. And we get a noun from that, Mashiach. Mashiach. And that means the anointed one. Now, that can be, you know, in a generic sense, anointed one. But there's HaMashiach, that means the anointed one, and that's Yeshua or Jesus, because he's the ultimate anointed one, the ultimate one set apart by God in a place of service, and he's receiving God's empowerment to do that. Now, again, in the 1 Samuel passage we were just looking at, David was anointed by all by Samuel the prophet to be the next king of Israel. And then once that happened, we read God's Spirit came upon David. And again, he was changed forever. And that was preparing him to be the future king of Israel. And we see other examples in the Hebrew scriptures of individuals that were anointed. For example, all Aharon, Aaron, and all his sons that were going to be the priests, they were all anointed with oil. You know, when they began a priest and when they were age 30. Also, there were a number of kings of Israel that were anointed. I mentioned about Saul, Shlomo, Solomon. King Solomon was anointed. Also, one of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, Jehu, was anointed. Even one of the prophets, Elisha the prophet. It says he was anointed by Eliyahu or Elijah. Incidentally, I'm going to throw this in at no extra charge. It's in the King David. He was anointed as king 20 years before he actually became king of Israel. So think about that. That reminds us of something that can be true in our lives. Sometimes the anointing and the appointing don't always match up in timing. In other words, sometimes God anoints us ahead of time for something he's preparing us for in the future. So we need to be patient. In other words, you know, you may say, "Oh, I really sense God's anointing. I really sense him. He's wanting me to do something." But you have to wait on his timing, because his timing is always best. We don't always realize that initially, but in the long run, you realize his timing is the best. All right, so that was an example of anointing. We read about David being anointed. Also, Yeshua was anointed as the promised Messiah. In Luke chapter 3, it describes how Yeshua at his baptism by John the baptizer, you know, Yeshua went into the Jordan River there. He came up out of the water. And then it said the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, descended like a white dove upon him. And he was then anointed at that time by the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke chapter 4, it says Yeshua was full of the Spirit. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says Yeshua returned from the wilderness, Midbar, what we're talking about today, in the power of the Spirit. So think about, what are we talking about here? Now, Yeshua was God. I mean, Yeshua was God. God as a man, in his humanity, he was being anointed and received the Holy Spirit in his physical body. And then in Luke chapter 4, I want us to read this. In Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 16, after Yeshua had been anointed at the beginning of his public ministry, notice what it says, verse 16, and he, that is Yeshua, came to Nazareth, and where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on Shabbat and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Yeshayahu or Isaiah was handed to him. So this is talking about the Haftorah. He was getting ready to read a Haftorah portion. Okay, and then continuing in verse 17, it says, and he opened the book. Now when it says book there, he's really opening a scroll, because they didn't have bound books like we have today. So he opened the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. And this is incidentally Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2. And he read this to them in the synagogue. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden. And then in verse 19, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then it says, and he closed the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And notice this, it says the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Now you say, why was everybody looking at it? It could have been the way he was reading the scripture. It was with such power, it like got their attention. Maybe, and we're not sure, maybe he was reading a different Haftorah passage than they were expecting. For whatever reason, it got their attention. And then notice in verse 21, and as everybody's eyes are all looking at him, verse 20, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. Now that got everybody's attention there. Okay, so notice even Yeshua the Messiah needed the anointing of the Lord as he began his public ministry there. And again, I'm talking about in his humanity, he needed that anointing there. He, as he said there, he had been anointed to preach the good news of the gospel. That's, in other words, that's the good news about himself, about salvation through him as the Messiah. He was anointed to proclaim release to the captives, healing, to proclaim healing, to proclaim that, to set people free. All these wonderful things that he's proclaiming here. Now, now we looked at how David was anointed. We looked at how Yeshua was anointed. Now we're getting to ourselves. Now we who follow Yeshua today, we also receive the anointing of the Lord. Yes. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. You may have never noticed this before. Paul is speaking here, and he says, now he, that is God, who establishes us with you in Messiah, and what? Anointed us is God. Notice, he's talking about we as believers or followers of Yeshua. We are anointed of God. And then look at another verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. There John says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Isn't it interesting that in ancient Israel, the kings and the prophets and the priests were anointed for their positions? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, speaking about you and I who are followers of Yeshua, it says there that we are a kingdom of priests. And actually in the King James translation, it says we're kings and priests. So think about that. In the older Testament, the kings and priests had to be anointed for their service. Well, we as priests, maybe as kings in a generic sense, we also have to be anointed to carry out our positions. Now, we receive a general anointing of the Spirit at the time we become believers in Yeshua. So that's why I say we all have this anointing in a generic sense. You know, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I think back to 39 years ago, this spring, when I was a college senior, and as a Jew, you know, I wasn't raised to believe in Yeshua or Jesus. That was a foreign thing to me. But through the witness of some born-again believers on my dorm hallway, it got my attention. And so on Good Friday of my senior year in college, I sat up in bed that morning, and then bam, it just all hit me. I said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And when I made that decision, just in my mind, I made that decision. I was by myself, just sitting on my bed there. I had no idea what was going to happen. All of a sudden, as soon as I just made that decision, I felt a tingling all over my body. I felt like a big load was being lifted off my shoulders. And I just instinctively started crying and started weeping. And when I wiped away the tears, I felt the greatest I ever had in my whole life. I felt a peace and a joy in my heart I'd never experienced before. God was so real to me. I felt His love like I had never felt before. And I was born again that morning. That was the greatest day of my life. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but I got anointed. I received the Holy Spirit at that moment. That's why I was feeling that tingling over my body. That's why all of a sudden this peace and joy came in my heart, and God became real, and I felt God's love there. And again, part of receiving the Holy Spirit, again, was the anointing of the Lord. And I've never been the same since. That's been 39 years ago, so praise the Lord. But you know, so that's a general anointing we all receive when we believe in Yeshua or Jesus. But there's also special times of anointing of the Lord after we become believers in Yeshua. And you can sense those times because you sense God's presence in a special way. You sense His empowerment in a special way. You feel a greater joy and a peace than normal time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about there. You know, that helps to explain why you can be ministering for the Lord, and at certain times when you're ministering for the Lord, you see God do things in and through your life that you don't normally see. I mean, you wish you saw Him all the time, but you may see Him work in a greater way than normal. That's why, for example, I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes when I'm preaching sermons that I just sense a greater anointing in the preaching of the sermon than at other times. I wish they were all that way, but I'm not there yet, all right? But anyway, I'm just saying that most preachers can sense at certain times that God works in a greater way. I'm sure that's true, Pablo, for musicians as well, that at certain times you sense even a greater anointing and God just does even more special thing. Maybe it just flows in an even easier way or something. That also explains why you can get two believers together. One of them can be doing the same ministry. Maybe they're witnessing. Maybe they're preaching. Maybe they're singing. Maybe they're praying for somebody or whatever. And through one person, you see maybe some things happening. Through somebody else, you see great things, supernatural, unusual things happening. It's the anointing of the Lord. It's not us. It's God working through us. So that's why that leads right into number two I want us to look at. Why do we need the anointing of the Lord? Why do we need it? You know, we saw earlier, I shared about Yeshua being anointed. Now think about it. If Yeshua, the Son of God, the promised Jewish Messiah, if He needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit as He began His public ministry, how much more do you and I need anointing? Right? I mean, we need it a whole lot more than Yeshua needs it. And so that's why I say if He needed it, we need it. That means all of us here need the anointing of the Lord. Now we see this anointing, we need this anointing to see the Lord work in power in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22, it says, "For indeed Jews ask for signs," that means they tend to ask for signs, "and Gentiles search for wisdom." You know, most people, especially Jewish people, they're not looking for religion or theology. They're looking for an experience, a real experience in their life that's based on theology and religion. They're looking for something real. They're looking for God to be real in their lives. Something that's going to meet needs in their lives. Something that's going to change their life and help their life be better. Where they can make a tikkun olam, where we're going to make a difference in this world here. And you know, more and more of our Jewish people are getting disillusioned with traditional Judaism, because even though a cantor can, you know, chant beautiful liturgy and things like that, it may sound very beautiful, but it's not meeting needs in their lives. It's just dead. It's dead without Yeshua the Messiah. Think about it. A Judaism without the Jewish Messiah is dead. And that's why, you know, when I grew up as a Jew, God, I mean, I loved God as much as I knew about him, but he was distant. He wasn't real in my life. And that's why it's only when we come to know the Messiah that we can know the God of Israel in a personal, life-changing way there. And that's why, sadly, too many of our Jews are getting involved in cults and the occult, because they're looking for some kind of reality, but they're looking in the wrong places. And yeah, there may be a power, but it's not God's power. It's a false power. It's a counterfeit. So that's why every Jew and every Gentile needs to believe in Yeshua or Jesus, because he is the only way to have true spiritual reality in our lives and to see true power in our lives from God. That's why John 14 verse 6, why don't we read this all together? This is Yeshua speaking. Let's read it together. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the me there is Yeshua, because he's the one that was speaking that. You know, not long ago, I was talking with some religious Jews up at CSUN. And they said, oh, we want this rabbi to meet you. And so they call up this rabbi. He was a Chabad rabbi. He comes. And so they're talking with me. And I told them, I said, look, believing in Yeshua Jesus was the greatest thing that ever happened to me as a Jew. God is so real. He's so personal. It's changed my life for the better there. And I wish I could say that it fazed them, but it's just like, it's like water off a duck's back, you know. There's like, oh, you know, they think they've got something. And here's the sad part about it. I mean, and they may be very sincere people, you know, the rabbi was a very nice guy that I talked with. We didn't get in any arguments or anything like that. But the thing is, if they could just experience the peace and joy and love and all the wonderful things, that the power that Yeshua will bring in a believer's life, if they could just experience that, they'd say, man, I want that. All their arguments would fall away. They'd say, man, I want that. That is our Messiah. But the problem is they haven't experienced it. And so when someone is trying to tell them and everything, it's just like, unless God's Spirit is convicting them and opening their eyes, they're not going to get it. But thank God the Lord is convicting Jewish people. I mean, he convicted me. That's the only way I came to the Lord. And he's reaching more and more of our Jewish people to believe in Yeshua. So I want to encourage you, don't give up on your loved ones and friends who don't yet believe in Yeshua. Keep praying for them and praying for God to reveal himself to them, because that's the only way it's going to happen. But even after we believe in Yeshua, we need the anointing of the Lord to see God minister in power in our lives. You know, at times we all have struggles. You know, I mean, I have struggles. You have struggles. Don't look so pious out there. Like you don't ever have any. So you have struggles. Everybody's got them. Now, some more than others. That's true. But we all have disappointments. We have discouragements. Some people are depressed. I mean, they have all kinds of things like that happen there. You know, there's times when we need a special touch from God. We need his power in our life to deliver us or free us from a struggle. I think back to many, many years ago there as a believer. I was struggling with some depression. And I'm sure there's probably some others here. You've probably struggled with depression somewhere along the way. You know, and I went to a worship service and I sensed God's presence there. And in the midst of that worship, so all of a sudden the depression just lifted from me. And that's happened at Adat Yeshua. I mean, I'm just saying, but it's just lifted me. What would happen? That was the anointing of the Lord. He was doing something in my life that needed to happen at that moment. Maybe you're here today. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with something in your life. I just want you to know, God's anointing, He wants to touch you and minister in your life so you can be freed of that struggle. We were meeting in Woodland Hills some years ago, and as I normally do at the end of a service, I was chanting the Aaronic benediction, you know, that the priest of Israel used to pronounce over the children of Israel. And as I normally do, I was walking toward the back of the sanctuary, so I proclaimed it, and it was a longer walk there than it is here. So I did the Aaronic benediction, went to the back there, and sometime later, this lady that had been visiting the congregation that day, she came to me. She said, "You're not going to believe this, but when you were pronouncing the Aaronic benediction, I just felt God's Holy Spirit come upon me and I got healed of something." She didn't tell me what it was, but she got healed of something just hearing the Aaronic benediction. Now that wasn't me. That was God. That's God's anointing. Look back at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. This is a little bit after one of the verses we read just a moment ago. John says, again, he's speaking to believers in Yeshua. He says, "And as for you, the anointing which you received from Him, that is from God, abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him." So this is even referring to another aspect of this anointing where God's doing something in your life there where He gives you discernment and helps you to learn God's spiritual truth. You know, the scriptures, the Bible, whether you have it on your cell phone, your iPad, whether you have a physical bound Bible, that's God's word. That's not just a human book. It's a supernatural book. It's God's word, God given to us through human beings to tell us spiritual truth about ourselves. In fact, I heard somebody use this analogy. It's God's owner manual for you. You know, like you, all of us that have a car, we got an owner's manual in there. Well, the Bible is your owner's manual to tell you how to take care of yourself so that you will perform properly. That's what the Bible is. And so we need to follow God's owner's manual for ourselves if we want to be blessed and see the wonderful things happen in our life that our Creator intended for us. Have you ever noticed that when you're reading the Bible, sometimes it's like a verse or a phrase or a word will like jump like off the page at you? How many of you have ever had that experience? I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, and that's what you want to see all the time as you're reading God's word and God is just making it come alive. And you're saying, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm dealing with in my situation. And there's the answer to this problem that I've been, oh, of course, I forgot that. I need to do this," and stuff like that. That's God giving you a rhema. That's God's spoken word. He takes His written word and He makes it come alive and He's applying it to you in a particular situation in your life. We all need that to be happening regularly in our life. So I mentioned this anointing of the Lord is to see God work in power in our lives, where He does something you need to see happen in your life. Now let's go on to the next part of it, and that is we need this anointing of the Lord to see Him work in power through our lives. So not just in your life, but also through our lives. Look at Acts 1:8. I have it on the screen. He says, but this is Yeshua speaking. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the world." So He's saying there for us who are followers of Yeshua, we're representing Him in this world. We need God's anointing and empowerment to be good representatives of Yeshua. People need, for them to see Yeshua in our life, we need His empowerment and anointing. All that famous Shavuot or Pentecost around 2,000 years ago that we read about in Acts chapter 2, Shimon or Peter, one of the apostles there, up in the upper room, received the Holy Spirit. Then when Jews from all over the world there, they heard them, you know, speaking in tongues and stuff and wondered, what in the world is all going on here? These people drunk. And Peter got up and he preached probably the most famous Jewish sermon ever preached, next to what Yeshua would preach. And he got up there and he said, no, we're not drunk, but what you see is in fulfillment of what was prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And he went, or 30 through 32, and he goes through and he preaches this sermon about Yeshua who died, who was resurrected, who they needed to believe in, and 3,000, around 3,000 of our Jewish people believed in Yeshua as the Messiah as a result of that sermon. Now, you know, that hadn't happened lately at Adat Yeshua. Okay, so that's a special sermon. 3,000 Jews believing in Yeshua, the Messiah there. Peter was anointed. God's hand was on him. God was speaking through him. And God was doing supernatural things there. Jewish Voice Ministries, which is one of the ministries we support as a congregation, it had its forerunner, Hero Israel Ministries, led by Jonathan Burness, went into the former Soviet Union. And they're actually now going back and they're doing that. But they would rent like football stadiums or soccer stadiums. And they would have Jewish music. They would have Jewish dance, you know, worshiping the Lord through dance. They would have preaching of the word from a Jewish perspective, trying to reach our Jewish people in the former Soviet Union. Well, back in 1996, they rented the big soccer stadium there in Odessa, Ukraine, excuse me. And the week before that music festival, there was a championship soccer match there that drew 5,000 people. And they're thinking, oh, wow, you know, only 5,000 people showed up for the soccer match. Who's going to show up for a religious meeting, you know, there in the stadium? Well, they're going out on the street praying, God, please bring the people into the stadium. Do you know, I don't know how many nights it was, they filled the stadium almost every night. They had 100,000 people show up at that stadium over probably at least 3 or 4 nights there. Amazing enough, 60,000 of those people raised their hands to make decisions in Yeshua. And they estimated that half of them were Jewish. That means about 30,000 Jewish people raised their hand. Now, did they all make true decisions? I don't know. I can't get in their heart. God was certainly working in the lives of at least 30,000 of them. And I do know for sure some of them were true decisions, because those people are still living for the Lord today. Some of them have made Aliyah to Israel, and now they're involved in Messianic congregations in Israel. So I'm just telling you that, in fact, Donna Plaza, who's a Ukrainian Jew that came to the Lord, her mother came to the Lord in one of those festivals in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, right around the same time there. So I'm just telling you, that was God's anointing. God working in these people's lives and just drawing them in mass. And I know Serge has gone to these Harvest Crusades, and he's seen the same thing happening there at the Harvest Crusades. And they've got one coming up in August, so you can talk to him about that. But I'm just saying, when God just works in an unusual way, a supernatural way to just draw people to himself there. Incidentally, God wants to minister in such power in your life and my life that those who don't believe in Yeshua yet will take notice. They need to take notice. I think it's a sad commentary on the body of Messiah across our country that too many people in our society just yawn. So they won't have their service. They don't take notice, because they're not seeing God be real in our lives. And so you and I can't be responsible for anybody else out there, but we are responsible for our lives. If we claim the name of Yeshua, they need to see him in our life in a good way, where it's attractive and they say, you've got somebody I don't have in my life and I want it. Now, when this anointing is present, even those who aren't yet believers in Yeshua, they'll take notice about it. Paul Wilbur was sharing this many years ago. You know, we've seen some of Paul Wilbur's songs. Paul Wilbur was singing a concert in a city in Texas, and he got a call from a rabbi of a conservative synagogue in that city. I don't know which city it was. And the rabbi said, you know, I was watching your video that you have, and you're dancing and you're singing and all this. He says, I want to know, how can I get the people in my synagogue to do that? I mean, you guys look so excited. How can I get them excited in the synagogue to want to dance and sing praises to God like that? And Paul Weber said, well, Now, Paul Weber grew up in a conservative synagogue in Cleveland, Ohio. And so he knew where the guy's coming from. So he said, well, look, Rabbi, I just got to be honest with you. The way that happens is you got to know our Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus. That's the only way you're going to have this peace and joy like you're seeing in this video. And the rabbi was not ready to believe in Yeshua, but he did said, well, look, Paul, I'd like you to come to our synagogue the next time you're in our city and do a concert at our synagogue. Can you believe that? I don't know if it ever happened. I never heard the rest of the story. I should ask Paul if I run into him again. But I'm just saying that caught the rabbi's notice. In fact, Paul Weber shared that also, that there was an occasion after he did his Shalom Jerusalem album. In fact, I have the picture there for the Shalom Jerusalem album, celebrating the 3,000th anniversary of Jerusalem. They videotaped it. In fact, I've got the video of it. A Jewish woman up in Chicago was just watching the video, and she became a believer in Yeshua just watching the video. Because she knew, they have got something I don't have and I want it in my life. You know, it says there in Romans 11, especially, I've said this before, those of you who are Gentile believers, God bless you, because you are to make our Jewish people jealous. Where they say, hey, you've got a better relationship with my God than I do. I want this. I want what you've got. You've got something that's real. That's what we're talking about. All right, now I'm just curious today. Let me, because, you know, I don't always know what's going on in everybody's life. How many of you here today are in full-time Christian or Messianic work? Raise your hand. You're in full-time Christian Messianic work. Now, the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, I'm wondering what's going on here. How many of you here are true believers in Yeshua or Jesus? Raise your hand. Then all of you are in full-time Christian messianic work. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year. See, the fact that we don't always realize that, that's symptomatic of something that needs to change. We need that mindset. You are always here to be serving God. Not to work your job, not to just raise a family, not to just have a good time and go out to the beach and do whatever you want to do. We are here to serve the Lord all the time. So we need that mindset. We need the anointing of the Lord. Every one of us here, not just those of us in vocational ministry, every one of us here need the anointing of the Lord, the empowerment of the Lord, that we can carry out this service that the Lord is expecting us to do. In fact, the anointing that you need is the same anointing I need. It's the same anointing, whether you're in vocational, whether you're a pastor, a messianic rabbi, you're a musician, whether you're just a lay person, we all need the same anointing. It's the same Holy Spirit, the same empowerment. Now, let me just encourage you. You may not have thought about this. This is why I want to really stress this. You know, I used to work for IBM, okay? I also, when I was in college, I worked on an assembly line making transformers, okay? So I've worked blue-collar, white-collar type job. Do you know, whatever job, however you're paying your bills, you need the anointing of the Lord in your jobs. so that you can be the best employee that you can be. Or if you have your own business, so you can be the best employer or the best boss. You need wisdom, you need insight, guidance from God, so that you can make the best of your opportunities and also be a good witness for Yeshua. You never know on your jobs. We never know just going through life when people are going to cross our path and we'll have an opportunity to minister to them. And you need that anointing of the Lord. So we all need to be prepared. You know, it's not just preachers that need to read their Bible and pray and confess their sins and make sure they're ready to get up and preach a sermon like that. You need to be prepared when you go to your job. Could that be why we have some of the challenges and problems we do in our jobs, in our daily lives? Because we're not spending time with the Lord like we should. We're not confessed of all our sins. We're not walking in the Spirit like we should be. We're not spiritually prepared for the challenges we're going to face. So we need to do that. I can't stress to you how important it is that you have a good time with the Lord every day. You're going to be able to reach people that I could never reach because you have relationships with people I'll never meet. You may be the only person that could reach that person for Yeshua. So please be prepared and make sure you have God's anointing so you can reach everybody God says you could reach. All right, let's finish up as quick as we can here. How do we get the anointing? Because you know, I would be remiss if I didn't go over this, just to make sure we understand. How do we get the anointing of the Lord? Just real quick, the first one I've already gone over. We receive a general anointing of the Lord at the time we believe in Yeshua. So all of us who believe in Yeshua, we receive the Holy Spirit in our life. I told you how I received the Holy Spirit when I believed 39 years ago. Ever since that famous Shavuot, or about 2,000 years ago, all believers receive the Holy Spirit at the time they believe. And thank God, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and then leave us. He comes to dwell in us. But then we need to be filled with the Spirit so that we will manifest this anointing of the Lord. As Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. In other words, be controlled by the Holy Spirit there. Because when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, as mentioned in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, that love, that joy, that peace, that kindness, that gentleness, that faithfulness, that long-suffering, self-control. It says, against such things there is no law. So we all need to be controlled by God's Holy Spirit all the time. Not just some of the time, all the time. But also when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we'll be anointed and empowered by the Spirit. We need to be looking to the Lord and relying on the Lord to always be controlled by His Holy Spirit and empowered by His Holy Spirit there. Now, some people have an experience. You know, I told you when I got the Holy Spirit, I felt a tingling on my body. I know not everybody has those experiences. That's fine. You don't have to have the same experience. Some people have what they call a second blessing. That's fine. The important thing is you are looking to the Lord to control you and fill you to the fullest. But I say this kind of jokingly, not theologically, but jokingly. The problem is we have a tendency to leak. See, I say we get filled, but we leak. We're not filled anymore. But it's not that we're losing the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm saying, I say that jokingly. But the Holy Spirit's not controlling us like He wants to. And what gets in the way? Our flesh, sin, disobedience, unbelief gets in the way. And that's something that we're all subject to. In fact, the Bible says that's called grieving the Holy Spirit. For example, the example it gives there in Ephesians 4 is bitterness. Now, I know none of you here ever deal with that, where you're bitter or angry or hurt toward anybody. But do you know that as quick as anything will grieve the Holy Spirit and you will not be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Instead, you're going to be controlled by your flesh. Losing your temper about things. Being selfish. I have to deal with these challenges just like you do. My flesh is just as bad as your flesh. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to control us and not our flesh controlling us. How about worry? I'm sure none of you here ever worry. Worry grieves the Holy Spirit because you're not trusting God and believing God like you should. How about being fearful when we shouldn't be fearful? There's not biblical reason to be fearful. That will grieve the Holy Spirit. Being prideful. Not believing or trusting God when we should. Maybe we sense God prompting us to do something and we don't obey Him on that. These are things that can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now thank God the Lord's willing to forgive us. That's why we need to go and confess and repent of all our sins so that nothing is getting in the way of the Holy Spirit controlling us. So again, I want to stress, that's why it's so crucial for you to make sure you're spending a good time with the Lord every day. You know, I was talking with somebody that attends the congregation this week, and they were saying, well, you know, I haven't been spending my time with the Lord like I should there. I said, please, you need to get spending that time with the Lord. Do it before you get into all the challenges of your day and stuff like that. I have to do the same. And look, there's days that I mess up, probably just like you do, where I have my prayer time later in the day and I wish I had it earlier in the day. You know, demands. You know what? The devil will bring something to your mind like, oh, you need to call somebody. Oh, you need to run over and do this. You need to do that because he wants to distract you and get you doing all kind of other stuff and you'll never get around to spending time with the Lord. Or if you do, it's way later in the day now that you've already gotten beat up by some challenges. So that's why I'm saying, make sure you spend that time as early in the day. It is not optional. It's not just desirable. It's mandatory. Okay, and then to finish up, we need to use this anointing in service for the Lord, especially when we sense His prompting and His anointing. You know, if you really want to be anointed of God, you need to resolve in your heart, I need to be serving God. Every believer needs to be serving God in some way. God has gifted you. It doesn't mean we're all serving Him the same way. But, you know, like when someone's helping out with an oneg, if that's what God wants them to do, God can anoint them in that. And anoint you in your general life in that. Maybe you're going to help somebody who's in need and you help them move and you're doing stuff like that, service. God bless you. God will anoint you as you're obedient in your service. Maybe it's singing like Pablo and Paulina or doing music or Susan over here. That's fine. God will anoint you. Kimberly was sharing earlier about dance. If God wants her to dance, she needs to do that to get a God's anointing. You see what I'm saying? We need to be doing what God is calling us to do. So let me ask you this rhetorically. Don't answer it out loud. Are you doing the service that God wants you to be doing? Well, He will help you. But we've got to obey. We have to say yes and put feet to our words and do what God is expecting us to do. So please, everybody needs to be witnessing for the Lord. Everybody needs to be serving the Lord. Even if we're witnessing, even in the face of opposition or persecution, when we do those things, it pleases the Lord and He will anoint us. Just like it said for Yeshua in Luke chapter 4 there, God has anointed you and I as believers in Yeshua to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim release to those who are in bondage, those who are captive. To proclaim healing to those who are sick. To proclaim deliverance to those who are being oppressed. Freedom from a bad habit. You know, this past Saturday night, again, we had our Arab Christian Messianic Jewish Fellowship. And kind of very spontaneously, one of the leaders said, I sense God wanting us to pray for anybody who wants prayer during our dinner time. We'd never done that before. So, okay, we said, anybody that wants prayer, come on up. So they were coming up there, and I was praying for one lady, and she says, oh, please pray for me. I have glaucoma. And I felt for her. I mean, I've heard about that. And I said, okay, well, let me pray for you. And as I was praying for her, I really sensed God's presence. Like He was doing something, but I never know, you know, what God's going to do. I said, I just prayed for her. She said, okay, thank you. So she leaves. A little bit later, she comes up. Hey, 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 hey. I said, what is it? What is it? She said, I went outside. I was looking up at the sun. I don't see the sparkling that I used to see. Yeah. like God was doing something for her. Now, is she healed of glaucoma? I'm not saying that. I don't know. She would need to go to a doctor and confirm. But God was doing something. And I was blessed. Virginia was sharing me. Virginia was praying for a lady that, I think, how many years? 18 or 19 years? 19 years, she could only talk in a whisper. Now, I don't know what happened to the lady. Virginia prayed for her. All of a sudden, the lady starts talking at normal volume right then. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the Lord doing it. It's not any of us. That's the Lord doing it. God wants to do that through you. We're all have the same anointing. We just need to be obedient. Yes, Lord, use me. And I'll end with this story there. Years ago, I was attending the Messiah Conference, the largest gathering of Jewish believers in the world there. They have like about 1,000 of them there and 2,000 people total. We're meeting in this big gymnasium. And so we were praying for one another in this meeting and stuff, looking to God to work in everybody's lives. And so then we all sat down and we have a speaker. So this guy's up there speaking. And I noticed there were about 6 of the people that had received prayer. They were still praying or still laying out on the floor and stuff like that. And they kind of drug them back behind the screen there. And so I don't know why. I kind of felt like God saying, I want you to go pray for them. And I'm saying, is that God? But I wanted to hear the speaker there. And I keep feeling this prompting. No, go pray for them. So I said, okay, I think it is God. So I got up. I had to walk the long way around in the gymnasium around. I went out in the back there behind the screen. There's 6 people. So I just went around. I just started laying hands and praying for them there. I didn't know anything. 2 of them started just praising God, just rejoicing and everything. And I said, oh, well, praise God, you know. And so I just prayed. So I got through. I went back, sat down to hear the rest of the thing. Later, this girl comes up to me. She hugs me. Oh, thank you so much for praying for me. I was so blessed when you prayed for me. I said, okay, well, I didn't know anything about it. And then later that night, this person comes up, total stranger. I want to thank you so much for praying for me this morning. When you did that, I got a revelation from God. I said, it wasn't me. That was God. Now, I'm sharing that story just to say it wasn't me. It was all God. Thank God on that occasion, I obeyed God. And that's the point I'm trying to say. You get promptings just like I get prompting. Maybe God's saying, go witness to that person sitting at another table in the restaurant. And we are tempted to be afraid and hesitant and, you know, we say, get behind me, Satan. You know, whatever. No, I mean, this is God wanting us to go. He wants to use you. If God's wanting to use you, his anointing will be there. We need to obey God. Be obedient. And there's been times God's prompted me and I didn't do what he wanted me to do. I'm ashamed to say that. But I'm just saying that let's don't do that anymore. Let's be obedient to the Lord. So Shavuot reminds us on this holiday, God brought about this anointing of the Lord to empower us in service, and we need that in our lives. Now, you know, when somebody like myself in vocational ministry, I don't know if any of you have ever seen it, they'll usually have a commissioning service, an ordination service. The person will go there, the congregation will pray for them and say, okay, we're setting you apart to do this. I want you to know, every one of you here is commissioned to serve the Lord. Amen. And what I want to do, I've never done this before. This is the first time I've ever done this. Any of you who want to be commissioned to serve the Lord, because remember I said all of us as believers are in full-time Christian service, messianic service. Any of you that want to be commissioned by the Lord and anointed by the Lord to do that, please stand. And I'm going to just pray for you. Now, if you have, she's got some little things of oil there. If you want to pass it around, I don't think we can get everybody, but you can pass it around. Those that can anoint now or later, that's fine. You know, that's just symbolic of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have to be anointed to receive the Holy Spirit. We've all got the Holy Spirit. We just need to yield to him. So let me go ahead and pray because we're running out of time. So I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Just quietly, you can be doing the anointing with the oil if you want to, but I don't want to disrupt what we're going to do. So let me just pray for you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. All of us are in full-time messianic ministry. Even if we're not paying for our bills through ministry, maybe you're still paying for our bills through our jobs, Lord. So you're paying for them. So Lord, I want to pray you bless them. I pray, Lord, forgive anyone today who needs forgiveness. If they're giving into any sin struggle, they're giving into the flesh in some way. In other words, just whatever deed of the flesh has been sticking up its ugly head, Lord, forgive us for that. So that there's nothing in our lives that's getting in the way of us being filled and controlled with your Holy Spirit. I pray if anyone came here today struggling with something, burdened down by something, I pray right now, Lord, they just give that up to you and they'd be freed in the name of Yeshua. And I pray that your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, would fill every single one of us here today, God, in a way that we've never experienced in our lives before, that we just feel your love and your joy and your peace, maybe like when we believed in Yeshua, whenever that was in the past, or maybe in even a greater way than we experienced at that time. But fill and control everybody with your Spirit. We pray for healing, for those who need healing right now. We pray instantaneously your anointing would come upon them and destroy any works of the devil in their life and in their body and restore them to perfect health. And I just pray, God, that you would just burden our hearts to serve you like we never have before. That we want to use those gifts and talents and opportunities and resources that you've entrusted us, that we feel such a gratitude to you, Lord, for you sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins and saving us so that we're going to spend eternity with you. We would be so burdened with appreciation and gratitude that there's nothing we're not willing to do for you, Lord. I pray that gratitude is always swelling up in our hearts. And I pray, God, any ways the enemy is trying to sidetrack us or distract us or to rob us of our joy, we pray for freedom from that, Lord. And deliverance from anything of the works of the devil that he's trying to do to any one of us or those we care about. And so I pray for your supernatural empowerment so that we will be such bold, courageous, spirit-filled witnesses that we would turn the San Fernando Valley upside down for you, Lord. Just like the early believers did Jerusalem. I pray, God, that you would so work in power and conviction through us. We would see people coming to the Lord through every one of us here. Many people coming to the Lord. And that we could lay our hands and pray for people. And we would see people being miraculously healed before our very eyes. That people who are oppressed that we know would be delivered from the oppression that they're going through. That you would just manifest all the spiritual gifts in our lives and through us, God, in a way like we've never seen before, and you would be glorified. So thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do as we are all commissioned now in service for you. And as we leave these doors and go outside, we are going out into the mission field to serve you, God. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do, God. And I look forward to hearing some wonderful testimonies in the future of things you're doing in and through us as we go out and serve you in obedience and in faith. I pray your special blessing on everybody here. And if there's anyone here or anyone hearing my voice who's not a true follower of Yeshua, for them to get that anointing, they first have to have Yeshua in their lives. So I pray right now they'd say, Yeshua or Jesus, just come into my life, forgive me of all my sin, and give me eternal life. I recognize you, Yeshua, as the Lord of my life. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, well, thank you. Thank you for your patience. Now you've all been ordained. You've all been commissioned. Let's all go out and serve the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to pronounce.